Turns out Africans have invented everything. Every last thing that we enjoy was invented by Africans. And we should just bow down to their technological prowess.
So the brain drain, Africa really needs the brains. We are the most intelligent race on the face of the planet. We invented almost everything that made this society and every society on the face of the planet in human. And when I mean human, I mean as in toilets, sanitary, everything comes from Africa. The chair, the traffic light, the car. The computer, what is it we haven't created? But our brains are going across. There were more, I think, doctors.
Yeah, so the funny thing is, she's complaining about brain drain in Africa, claiming that all the, I guess, the super genius Africans have left Africa. You know what? I hope they go back. I'll help them go back. Yeah, it's not a problem at all. But it's funny because I saw that clip. It was floating around on Twitter, and it reminded me of something that happened. I was looking at trying to find ways of fixing this amplifier that I've got some issues with, and I was on YouTube looking for, amplifier repair videos, and I came across a channel that's more geared towards CB stuff, but CB amplifiers are pretty much the same as ham radio amplifiers. They're just slightly more simple. And I was struck by, like, just because it was something that was playing in the background while I was soldering stuff. And it auto-played to an interview this guy did. This guy who makes CB amplifiers decided to go around and interview, I guess, all these old-school CB personalities. You know, like the famous CBers. There's a whole subculture there. And I started to realize a lot of them were black. Like, a lot of them were black. And I guess it makes sense because ham radio's got that IQ barrier. It's got the test that you have to take. And it's a lot simpler now. But up until fairly recently, especially when these guys were in their heyday, I mean, you had to learn Morse code. It was a lot more complicated of a test. So there was a huge barrier to get licensed as a ham back in like the 70s, 80s, even the 90s. So it appears as though a lot of the black people that still liked radio gravitated more towards the CB world because you didn't need to have a license. There was also kind of a sense of breaking the law, because if you're using the kinds of hardware these guys are using, you're breaking the law. They didn't really enforce it much. I mean, I guess they did back in the 70s. But it's still the law. And so there's like a naughtiness to it that probably attracts black people. And in this interview, like I said, it's a really long interview, probably like a 2-hour long interview. He goes and interviews this black guy that works on amplifiers. And at first I was like, well, that's kind of nice, right? You know, because contrary to popular belief, I don't just indiscriminately hate black people. I'm not like, oh, it's all the fucking niggers. No, I don't hate all black people or anything like that. And I would much rather discover a black American who's really into CB radios and soldering shit on his workbench and fixing stuff. And, you know, there's something wholesome about it. It's like, oh, look, you know, he's trying. And but much prefer that over all the other things that a black guy could be doing. So I don't want to shit on this guy personally. I don't want it to seem like I'm shitting on this nice old man that's just minding his own business, trying to do radio stuff in his basement. But there was, it was too easy, or it was too much of a demonstration of how wrong this black lady is. This interview, because he inadvertently said a few things. In fact, the one clip I wish I could find, I just couldn't find it before I went live because it was like a 3-hour thing and it was playing in the background. And that's what perked my ears up, is we often talk about the meme of, well, how would you feel if you didn't eat breakfast today? And there is a cutoff. There's an IQ cutoff for people who have a hard time understanding hypotheticals. Right? And a lot of people think that's just a meme. They don't understand. No, that's real. There are people that don't have a good idea as to what a hypothetical is. And so when you ask a question, it just sounds like a nonsense question. They don't realize, oh, I'm supposed to imagine as if I didn't eat breakfast and then determine how I would probably feel in this hypothetical situation. They lack the ability to consider this. And what clued me in to this possibly being the case for this black guy working on amplifier gear in his basement was the white guy that was going around getting interviews from these people mentioned, like, he was working on some amplifier, and he said, well, what would happen if you stuck some different transistors in that amplifier you're working on? And the black guy replied, well, I don't use those transistors. I use these ones. And the white guy said, well, I know, but what would if you put in these other ones? I don't use those ones. I use these ones. Yeah, but if you use these other ones, I don't. And he was getting mad. It's like he thought he was getting fucked with or something. And it was really weird. I was like, huh. So I started paying attention a little bit because I'd kind of zoned out. And then we got to this part, which I did clip out because I paused it and clipped it out right then and there. Because it was just like, holy shit, did he just fucking say that? Did he just fucking say that? And it like I said, it's a perfect, and I'm not shitting on this guy. He seems like a perfectly nice guy. That's not the point of this. But it's the exact opposite of what this chick is saying. See, they're looking at an amplifier that he's working on his bench. And the white guy is going to point out that part of the design is inefficient, that there's, in a nice way, he's going to say, you know, what about this part here? Is that really a necessary part to have in your amplifier? I just want you to look at not just the response, but the white guy not knowing how to respond to what's being said. Because it's kind of, I don't know, it's fascinating.
Just happened to go right even, nice and, mm-hmm. and it fits.
Yeah.
And it's done. And I'll take it to him when he go to the break and say, here, here's your box. Because I know I'll see him there. Only thing I got to put is the box number here. See, I got the date, but I got to put the box number there, what box number it is. And that's it.
Okay, so do you feel this is necessary?
Yep.
Okay.
Know why? Because that's the way the white boys did it 40 years ago. You can't remake the wheel. Apparently, it must have been right because they did it and it worked for them. So I do it and it worked for me 40 years later.
Because white boys did it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Ain't no black man designed this thing. White boys did this back in the day.
Ain't no black man designed this thing. The white boys did back in the day. I mean, in a way, like I said, I think it's much more capable cargo cult, but I think it's cargo cult to some extent all the same. He's essentially saying, hey, look, I don't know how any of this stuff works. And if you watch the interview, you kind of pick up on that he doesn't understand the theory behind anything. He doesn't understand, you know, it's like the difference between a backyard mechanic that has memorized a few steps that fix a few problems, but doesn't actually understand what's happening inside the engine that explains why these steps fix the problem. He just knows, well, if I do this, this, and this, you know, it fixes it. And it does, and there's nothing wrong with that, but it's not the same as understanding how the system itself works so that you can come up with your own solutions. You don't have to just be mimicking the solutions that other people came up with. And so, I'm not shitting on this guy. Seems like a nice guy, you know? And I, like I said, much prefer he do something like this than other stuff he could be doing. But it was just fascinating to me to see this guy who, for the last 40 years, has been working on... an amplifier is a relatively simple circuit, by the way. It's not like he's building a new radio. It's like a part of a car, you know? It's not like anyone's asking you to design an entire car. When you're designing the amplifier, it's more like you're designing like the brake system on a car. I mean, that's not obviously not what it does, but you know, in terms of complexity, yeah, brakes can be kind of complex in their own way, but it's just one element of a car. It's really not super complicated stuff, especially with the solid state gear. It's even more simple than it was with tubes, although tubes aren't even really super complicated. They're just more dangerous, I think, to work on. So it was just fascinating to see this guy who had worked on this stuff for 40 years and had no idea really why it worked. He just saw that, well, that's what the white people did, so that's what I'm going to do. It works for them, it's going to work for me. The problem is that's basically going to be our country. The problem is, the people that they're replacing the whites with in our country, even if they're well-meaning, you know, high IQ for their group, like this guy probably is, that's going to be the ceiling they're going to hit. And you don't need any kind of evidence other than their countries they're coming from have a history that doesn't line up with ours. The reason our countries, European countries and America and just the Anglosphere and the West generally, the reason why we're way more advanced, and the contrast was even starker before we started sharing our inventions with other countries. We were several generations ahead, even of like the high IQ parts of the world, like you might say, like East Asia. A lot of East Asia was relatively third world until they encountered Europeans. Sure, they had gunpowder and whatever, but like, let's be serious. A lot of that was replicating what the West had created and imported into their countries as well. Now, because they have a higher IQ, they are able to modify it and make, you know, advancements on the technology. But I think that there's a difference there too. I think there's a lack of creativity, a lack of originality, where they can probably improve upon a circuit in the same way that, you know, if you want to keep it in the radio world, ham radio companies that began to spring up in Japan were able to get existing ham radio designs from American companies and enhance the design. And you could say that's a lot what really all the electronics industry in Japan did, is the manufacturing that used to take place in America was exported to Japan, and the people were smart enough to do the manufacturing and eventually start enhancing some of the designs. And, you know, but not a whole lot of brand new earth-shattering disruptive inventions coming out of East Asia. It's always an improvement on something that was coming out of the West. You know, even a lot of people, their heads might go to like video games or something like that and say, oh, what about Nintendo? Yeah, I mean, it was an improvement on Atari. It was not an original idea. Same thing with all the televisions and the radios and, you know, all the technology. I'm not saying they've never invented anything, but by and large, that's kind of how it's happened. So I think that as more white people get replaced in the West, that innovation is going to go away. And it's going to just be a maintenance of what already exists. And you're going to have issues. You're going to have problems. that they, I think the ruling class is hoping that AI can pick up the slack and fix. But that's just the world we're going to live in. We're going to live in a world where it's cargo cult. Now, someone was nice enough to track down. We did a diversity training stream a while back, and they found the rest of the videos. It was a whole series of them. I only had, I think, episode 2, and there was something like 6 of them. And so I pulled up 2 more episodes. The one that episode 1, the one that went before the one that we went over that stream, and then episode 3, the one that would go after that. And we're going to just take a little bit, a quick look at part of that, just because it kind of lines up with what I'm talking about, how the diversity, you know, people replacing us, whether you're talking about East Indians, both politically, and, you know, obviously J.D. Vance is probably going to be the vice president. His wife is Indian. His kids are Indians. It's only a matter of time before we get someone like Vivek or something like that. And, of course, what's their attitude going to be towards the H-1B-1 visas? They're going to open the floodgates. They're going to use this excuse of IQ, thinking that that's the only thing that matters. I think that's probably a shift that we need to make in educating people. It's a important metric. It is something that is measurable. It's an easy to understand metric. It's an easy way you can show people the bell curve and explain that, like, oh, this is why you want to keep a white majority in your countries, because of, you know, the IQ versus, you know, black populations, Hispanic populations. You're gonna have a massive drop that's gonna create problems. But unfortunately, that leads a lot of people to the conclusion then that we shouldn't mind being replaced by, you know, East Asians or Indians who, I don't know what, I mean, I know there's it's a caste system, but I think the upper caste Indians are at least close to whites. I don't know the numbers on that. But that's kind of the CivNat, immigration based on merit ideology that's spreading throughout the right wing, because really the only thing that people have talked about to get them to think about things racially has been IQ. And that's just one piece of the puzzle. And maybe we got to think of ways that we can actually put numbers to some of these other things that are in some ways almost spiritual. You know, like there's almost a spiritual difference between the different people. Whether you mean that, you know, in terms of like actual, you know, spiritual, or just like a metaphor for the way that a people behaves. I think both are true. I think that we're just spiritually different. We have different destinies. We have different priorities. We have different ways of interacting with each other. And when white people are not burdened, when they're not burdened by these other groups of people in their societies, when it's only white people having to work with other white people in order to progress and to invent and to create and excel as a people, we're unstoppable. We're unstoppable. In fact, I'm certain that's exactly why our competitors, knowing that, have done everything they possibly can to make sure that never happens in any white country ever again. Because they know that we would outcompete everyone. Because we were outcompeting everyone, and we always have outcompeted everyone. But you can't outcompete everyone if you're having to use up a substantial portion of your resources to subsidize all these other people, intellectually or otherwise, and get them to just exist or just not be a danger to you and your family in your society.